So I invite us, as we enter into this time, I invite you to find your bulletin, or we'll use the screen, and let us join together in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our epistle reading, epistle meaning letter, is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Which, of course, I lost my handy little bookmark. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, and I invite you to stand as you are able, as we hear the word of the Lord, the transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, let these words be not my words, but your words. Use them in spite of me, and let them point always to Christ. Amen. So if you are newer to this congregation, my name is Amy Stewart. I am an ordained deacon in the United Methodist Church, which is why I have this, beauty pageant stole, as opposed to the traditional elder stole. I have my deacon pin, which you get when you're ordained. I currently serve at the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry in Conference Relations, which is a lot of words. But the work I do is helping people in different annual conferences to support their clergy within the United Methodist Church. So I work with leaders from the Desert Southwest Annual Conference, from the New England Annual Conference, from the Great Plains, etc. Some pastors in the United Methodist Church, usually elders like Pastor Anita, serve within a local church. So Pastor Anita is this congregation's pastor, and as I said, she's receiving some rest and renewal this morning, which is very hard for a pastor to do, so I'm excited that we're able to have a morning where she can rest. So I am not appointed to this congregation, so I am not a pastor of this church or of a different church, though you graciously call me Pastor Amy, and you include me in the life of this church. I first came to Holly Springs United Methodist back in 2014. At that time, I was working at Sunrise United Methodist Church, which is in a different part of Holly Springs, and I was serving as their youth and children's minister. I said like Kathy, but no one is as good as Miss Kathy at what she does. So, I was also not a parent at that time, and I would have done things totally differently if I had known what I know now, having two kids. We were having a staff retreat, so we came to this church, and we met in the Christian Life Center, which is the building room behind us. We went to lunch at My Way Tavern, which is there across the street. If you haven't eaten there before, you probably should just get up and go, like, right now, because it's that good. But I recall we came into this space, and it looked very different. It was configured differently. I don't remember a lot of details. I remember it was fairly dark in here, so I don't know if it was darker wood or darker carpet or what the change was. So, and because I can remember the different form, I appreciate the beauty of this sanctuary after that renovation to this day. And if you haven't noticed, right outside the doors, there is a plaque that commemorates the renovation of this space. And there's a plaque in the Christian Life Center from 2000 when that space was renovated. People did a hard thing back then, and from that we now benefit. So fast forward a few years, I came here to preach in May of 2019. I knew Pastor Jim Littleton when I was in seminary. We were in seminary at the same time, and I was doing an internship at White Plains United Methodist Church, where Kelly Lynn now serves, and Kelly Lynn used to be here. So we're all sort of like connected. And so I was invited to come here and preach, and I brought my two kids. Kelsey was about 5 months old, and Kylie was three. She had just turned three. So they were much younger than they are now. And they were in the nursery, and they were having a blast. And we would take Kelsey to the nursery at a different church, which I won't name for their protection, but she would scream until we would finally go get her. And so for Kelsey to be in the sanctuary at this church for the whole morning, there were two services, was quite a feat. Kylie and I enjoyed a biscuit with sausage gravy in between services with Miss Sue. I remember we were sitting there, and she was telling us about how she was doing different things, and I just felt so grateful to be connected to another person at this church, even though I was preaching. I didn't know anybody here. So eventually, a year later, because I'm in what you would call extension ministry, I don't serve a local church, I am connected with a local church, and I get to, you know, choose where I will go. And I decided that I would come here in the early year part of 2020, right before everything shut down. So I think about those days. The sausage and gravy are a legacy of those who were here, who came and cooked and created a community of hospitality from which we now benefit. Something surprising happened in the midst of the pandemic. Miss Kathy said, "What if we had a Zoom meeting with the kids right before worship on Sunday morning?" These sweet little faces would jump on Zoom. And they would have their cereal and their stuffy, and they were wearing their pajamas, and they would have to figure out where the mute button. Ms. Kathy would call on, okay, Kylie, and she'd have to figure out where the mute button is and talk really loud, you know. And it was just such a sweet time, and the kids began to get to know one another. And one time we were playing 20 questions, and I remember Connor Fincher, who was a child, now he's in the youth group, he said, I'll give you a hint. It's a marsupial. And that is when I knew that these kids are exponentially smarter than I will ever be. I had to look up. I don't know what a marsupial is. So while being online wasn't preferable, it developed relationships between children and between parents that are established now from the hard thing that we did in the past. Now, I could tell more and more stories like these about all of the changes of the Holly Springs United Methodist Church over the past 10 or so years that I've been connected with this church. There was a time when Logan was much shorter than I am, and now he's taller than I am, so time quite literally flies. But when the bulletin looks like this on one half of it, you don't want to take advantage of the time. And so I will say this. If you were here last week, you came and there was a town hall that was part of the message, and we were presented with a lot of information about changes that have happened and changes that may happen in the future. It was a lot. And for some of us, it was unexpected. There are really great things here right now. And it would be nice if things could stay the same for a little while. We experience so much change in our lives all of the time. In our work, in our neighborhoods, with our kids, with our weather. Today, the disciples are walking with Jesus. Three of them, Peter, James, and John, are ascending a mountain with Jesus. And it doesn't really say why Peter, James, and John are the ones to go up this mountain with him, but they were following Jesus. And in a way, they've been climbing up a mountain with Jesus for several weeks now, as have we, in the season of Epiphany. We've been climbing up through Jesus' stories of healing and teaching, liberating ministry. And here we are at the top of the mountain. We've arrived at a clearing on a mountaintop. We can look back and survey how far we've come. It is good for us to be here, says Peter. If you wish, I will make three dwellings for us, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But time marches on. As we look ahead to the descending path of the mountain, the road leads to Jerusalem. We begin the Lenten journey on Wednesday with ashes and prayers. We'll be reminded of our mortality. We'll enter into the 40 days of Lent, and we'll walk with Jesus as we more fully understand the depth of Jesus' love for us, the sacrificial love to truly conquer death and raise us again to new life. While we might be hesitant to willingly enter into this season, this work before us is spiritual formation and transformation, and it is arduous work, and yet it is what we are called to do, and we know that God is with us now. God is preparing us for a yet unknown future. The hard work we are doing right now will bear fruit in the years to come. In seminary, we learn about the already and the not yet. That in this life we live today, there are signs that the kingdom of God is here with us. And in our time of prayer later here in worship, we can point to the ways that God is working within us and within the lives of those around us. And there are ways that we see the not yet. We pray for an end to injustice. We pray for an end to war. We pray for peace. We pray for healing. We pray for reconciliation. These desires are natural for we were created for good. God created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested and declared that it was good. And we know that we are not there yet. Today, Jesus is upon this mountain. Jesus is vibrantly transformed from within, such that he exudes brightness equal to the brightness of the sun. Jesus' clothes are made dazzling white. Suddenly, two other prophets are standing with them on the mountain, and the voice of God loudly declares that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen to Jesus. Peter, James, and John are so overcome in this moment that they find themselves on the ground, terrified of what they've seen, of what they've heard, of what they felt. They are shaken to their core. These moments in our lives where we too feel this way are profound. It's not an everyday occurrence, but when it does happen, we are overcome, and we may find ourselves curled up and in a dark space, under a weighted blanket, self-soothing. We might be afraid or distraught or enraged. Perhaps it was the sheer unexpectedness of this moment. They went from, hey, let's build some dwellings up here, to being frightened in every sense. But Jesus gently bends down, and perhaps in contrast to the booming declarations, he softly whispers, get up and do not be afraid. We do not go this road alone. Even if you are worshiping from your home this morning by yourself, you are here with us, and we are with you through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And God has called each of us here to this place and this time so that we can go out from this sanctuary through those doors to share the love of Jesus with those in the world. Whether we can see it or not, we also are transformed each week as we worship and as we fellowship and as we serve. The youth went off last week to Boone for a snow tubing trip. And while I wasn't here when they returned, I can imagine that they said, yeah, we had the best time. They were different when they returned from when they left. God is always doing a new thing in our lives, whether we can see it or not. How do we know this is true? As Miss Kathy shared, how can we fact check this? Because we can look back at the hard things we've done together and give thanks for the seeds that were planted that have grown into beautiful experiences here and now. And we can look ahead as we descend from this mountain. We walk with Jesus. We can anticipate the goodness of God and what God will do within and through us in these 40 days to come. A couple of weeks ago, I attended a webinar titled Leading a Non-Anxious Church in Anxious Times. The author spoke about the permission he received when he was a child. He would be in his room, and it was dark, and he was scared. And his mother would come in, and she would tell him, "You don't have to be afraid." It wasn't a command. Don't be scared. It was an invitation. Not to be brave, but to rest. We are invited not to be afraid, not because the darkness is unreal, but because it is not final. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you, and God is with me.